Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
The Raise the Roof protest is taking place this afternoon in Dublin, and Brian McLaughlin from Inner City Helping Homeless is with us here on Lunchtime Live. Brian, can you just tell us about this protest, first of all?
Yeah, good afternoon, Andrea. So today is the Raise the Roof campaigner outside the Custom House to announce a number of things we have coming up over the next few months. So we have all the founding members of the Raise the Roof campaign. So it will be homeless charities like ourselves, grassroots organisations, trade unions and opposition parties. And it's really to launch, you know, a winter of discontent, because we're looking at a major demonstration on October the 2nd, COVID permitting, which we think will be the biggest housing protest seen in Ireland. And we need to see real reaction from government and from the Minister of Housing.
I suppose the housing issue has kind of, you know, re-emerged in recent months, and we've talked about it here quite a lot, Brian, on the programme. In particular, I think in the aftermath of one estate that was purchased by a vulture fund or a large development. And there have been some changes that have been brought about as a result of that. Is it enough?
It's not enough yet, Andrea. And because of the delay to the Housing for All plan that the Minister had in place, we would ask the question as to how many of the funds are actually being prevented in getting these homes. There's always a workaround and there's always a loophole for them. But I suppose the biggest thing from our perspective is we've had the worst homeless crisis in the history of the state over the last 10 years. But the housing crisis affects everybody now. It's affecting people in student accommodation. It's affecting tenants in the private rental market. And it's leading to a lot of people not being able to afford to purchase their first home or get on the property ladder. So there's a multitude of issues that need resolving, and we need to see a proper plan in place from the government to do that.
The USI President Claire Ostick is with us here too on Lunchtime Live. Why is the Union of Students in Ireland, Claire, involved in the Raise the Roof campaign?
Certainly, and thank you very much for having me today. I suppose just to echo the comments that were made, this is the worst housing crisis in the history of the state, and students are massively affected by the lack of purpose-built student accommodation, by the cost of accommodation that is needed to attend college, and the cost of education coupled with the cost of accommodation remains one of the largest barriers in accessing third level education in the country at the moment. So we want to see a clear commitment and urgent action from the government to commit to a plan on accommodation to ensure that people all across the country have access to accommodation, particularly students as well. So we hope to see that there is a commitment from the government in Budget 2022 to see capital grants being afforded to higher education institutions to allow colleges to build purpose-built student accommodation for students and ensure that all students have access to third level education.
So this is a lot of the colleges and ITs and universities across the country, there would be kind of accommodation that's associated as being the college campus accommodation, but it's frequently run by, you know, private operators or within a private operation. Are you saying, Claire, sorry, that all colleges should have their own accommodation to offer students?
Yeah, exactly. So at the moment, there are lots of accommodation providers that are associated with colleges that students would attend, but the issue with it is that it's private. So the cost of the accommodation that's provided is extortionate, it's extremely high, whereas if colleges have their accommodation, there will be a reduced cost. So it would ensure that colleges regulated that monitor, I suppose, the standard, the quality of the accommodation, and ensure that students do have access to campus if they want to stay on campus or have a college-owned student accommodation.
But there is grants distributed, though, to students in an effort, though, to pay for the accommodation in the private sector as well.
So particularly with the SUSE grant, it's just not enough. The cost of living, the cost of accommodation, the cost of college, third level education is huge. And there's so many barriers in place that I suppose prevent students from availing of third level education, but also progressing through college. And accommodation is a large part of that. So we definitely need to see more actions by the government to ensure that there's accommodation across the sector, that there's a public and state-led accommodation plan in place, but also including purpose-built student accommodation for students in third level education.
One of the things, Brian, I suppose that's happened over the past, you know, 16, 17 months or during the pandemic, a lot of people have left their rental properties and accommodation in many of the cities across the country and relocated, or in many cases as well, they've moved home. home. Should rental prices in the likes of Dublin and Cork and Galway not be dropping now if there's so many empty bedrooms?
Absolutely, yeah, we are, Andrea. We're seeing a lot of students, but also a lot of people that work in the tech companies in Dublin that might be from Spain and Portugal that have all headed home to work from home. But we're not seeing that reflected in the actual rental prices. Now, one of the biggest frustrations that we have is related to the funds who, in many ways, are kind of manipulating the prices in the rental market by sitting on some of the properties that they have for build to rent and not actually releasing them all into the market in one go, but drip feeding them through creates the demand and, of course, the price goes up. So that's one of the things we would like to see Minister O'Brien address. We would like to see him say to the funds, when one of these properties is available for someone to move in, you have 45 days. And if it's not on the market by then, we will compulsory purchase order it from you because you're actually manipulating the rental prices in the country by just drip feeding them through and creating that demand for each property.
I was speaking to somebody in this business, Brian, in recent days, and they just made the point to me that, you know, one of the issues they say for landlords at the moment is that they can't actually reduce the prices in, you know, the house share or the two-bed apartment because of the rent pressure zones. Because if they do drop them now in an effort to try and fill the rooms again, they then can't, if there's a spike or more people return to Dublin or Galway or Cork or wherever it is in the coming months, they then can't go back to the, you know, when there's more demand, they can't basically increase the price again because of the pressure zones.
Yeah, and that is a big concern. We've actually asked the Minister for clarification on the rent pressure zones because, in fact, the Minister appeared on a podcast, the Echo Chamber podcast, 2 weeks ago and said it was now illegal for the landlords to go above the agreed percentages, but that actually wasn't in place. So now we're concerned that the Housing for All plan is actually where that plan is going to become legal from. So we are pushing the Minister to give us more clarity on that because, as you say, one of the biggest concerns for the individual landlord, the person that has a second home, a lot of them have been supportive of their tenants during COVID-19. In some cases, they've halved the rent. In some cases, they've actually stopped the rent if they knew that their tenants were people that worked in the hospitality trade, for example. So a lot of the lower level people that are landlords have supported their tenants. But unfortunately, it's the big REITs, it's the big funds that won't do that. So we need the government to be very clear on what's allowed from the private rental market and what's not allowed.
Okay. Green Party councillor and the former Lord Mayor of Dublin, Hazel Chu, is with us here too on Lunchtime Live. The other element of the housing, I suppose, story, if you want to call it that, Hazel, today, there's new figures by Savills Ireland and it says there's going to be about 24 hotels expected to be developed in Dublin alone in the next 2 years. Are you surprised by that?
I'm surprised, and to be honest, I don't like it. So I'm not being facetious about it. But at the end of the day, what we saw in Dublin City and Dublin wider was that we had a lot of empty hotels. We had empty space that could be converted into accommodation. So, and what we also saw is that in the previous years, that the more you take sites to be built as hotels, you take it away from the community and you take it away from building longer lasting accommodation. Now, the argument is, oh, it's zoned for that. So we have a development plan coming up now, the 2022 to 2028 development plan, which myself and my colleagues and other colleagues have submitted that there needs to be less hotels in the city and that we need to make sure that we replan the city, that it goes back to community, goes back into housing, goes back into long-term solutions for our housing crisis. Because Brian and Claire just talked about it, that there is a distinct lack of a supply and of support for people who need it, and that's what we need to give. I'm all for supporting tourists and businesses coming in, but if you look at the current stats around the world of what the tourist pickup has been, it's 10% in Prague at the moment. We need to plan properly instead of just go, oh, we're going to build 2,000 hotels or 4,500 hotels.
Yeah, so it's it's about 24 hotels, about 4,500 rooms. Is that not just though due to during the pandemic and the COVID restrictions, Hazel? Obviously, development wasn't allowed to take place, you know, for a certain period.
Absolutely, there has been a stall, and the only two hotels that was open in the last year, one of them is down in the Keys, and another was in Dublin City, There wasn't a demand there for the space as well. So now that we're picking up, the argument is, oh yes, we're building back up on the hotel building then because we're able to reinstate it. It's a time for us, however, to reevaluate whether you need it. So be it that you say, well, those were in the pipeline, fine. What about in future? This is why the development plan is so important, and this is why looking overall of Dublin City as a city and surrounding areas of what we want for our communities is essential. For the last 18 months, Dublin has been a donut with a hole in the centre. There's been a lack of support, lack of activity within the centre. The last thing you want to do is build it back to what it was beforehand. It wasn't working beforehand. You need to build something better, which helps people, who can't afford to live in the centre, and build it back, build it to something better, not just build it back the same way it was.
Yeah, because we had figures only, I think, the middle of June and around the 18th of June, from one of the industry bodies talking about the low occupancy rate of hotel rooms, and perhaps that might have been due to the pandemic and people not staycationing in Dublin. I see Savills Ireland say that due to the market being undersupplied pre-COVID, resulting in high room occupancy and low availability, which is damaging to the city's reputation and its ability as well to compete with other European destinations. Is it a fair point?
Well, I guess the question is, what do you want the reputation of Dublin City to be? Do you want the reputation to be something that's just for tourists, something for trade, or do you want it to be a livable city? So reputations need to be changed. Cities need to be built to something better nowadays post-COVID. If we've learned anything from the last 18 months of COVID, is that we need to support our people, support our communities, and building a reputation as a first-class tourist destination isn't going to help your local community.
Do you agree with that, Brian McLaughlin?
Yeah, I mean, I go back straight away, Andrea, to something that Leilana Farha, who was the UN Special Rapporteur for Housing, and she came to Dublin a couple of years back, and she made a very simple point, and it's something that resonated with all of us in Raise the Roof and in Inner City Helping Homeless. She said there's an awful problem with a city when homeless families are living in hotels, bed and breakfast, and then tourists are coming in, staying in homes, in houses and apartments through Airbnb. That's completely reversed by how it should be. And I think that's probably part of the fact that the hotels have been, you know, jumping up around the city over the last time, because a lot of them are in use for accommodating as emergency accommodation. And I think that's something that we really need to get away from. We need to stop putting families in hotels and bed and breakfast. Open them up to the tourists. And I don't think we would need the volume of rooms for hotels that's being discussed.
You said, Hazel, sorry, this is going to be discussed at the council meeting around planning, is it?
It will. We have the city development plan that will be kicking off the next iteration. So we've had over 1,500 submissions. We went through a week of motions a month and a half ago, and now we're going to go into the next iteration. And it's something that the chief executive, I definitely have brought towards to him and other councillors, to tell him, listen to what Brian said there, that we need to reform what we have in the current market when it comes to tourist accommodation and when it comes to housing. You can't continue to put families in hotels while your tourists take up part of the housing supply. So how do we do that? How do we reform the planning overall of hotels as well?
I have a text in here, Claire Ostick from the USI, from a listener who just makes the point, like, if there's so many vacant hotel rooms in Dublin, is there not some kind of a, you know, deal that can be struck between the students' union body and the hotels to maybe use that for student accommodation?
I think ultimately the real question is, why is there no purpose-built student accommodation, and the government really should need to commit to it. I completely take the points on board in terms of making deals and possibly for the short term during COVID-19, but it's kind of a dangerous territory to get into. There needs to be, a sustainable plan to ensure that students have affordable accommodation, that they have access to a safe environment where they have a roof over their head. And that needs to be the main conversation, rather than trying to come up with short-term solutions for a long-term problem that needs to be addressed immediately.
This protest, Brian, is taking place at the moment. Obviously with COVID restrictions and guidelines, I mean, what kind of a turnout are you looking at or expecting?
It wasn't exactly a protest for the public. It's basically all the members of Raise the Roof. So we've about 35 people here. They're all socially distanced. And it's really about just kind of bringing Raise the Roof back into the forefront of people's minds and highlighting what we're going to be doing over the next couple of months. So anyone that wants to see what the Raise the Roof are doing and all of our policies and the protests and demonstrations that are coming down the line can go to raisetheroof.ie.
All right, Brian McLaughlin from Inner City Helping Homeless, Claire Ostick, the USI President, and Green Party Councillor Hazel Chew, thank you for joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.